Funpod.
Der sonnige Podcast.
This is Sunpod, my name is Michael, and I welcome you to episode 263 of our podcast. Andrew Wilson from Perth in West Australia joined us at the ConsoleFoot 2020 conference in Faro, where he made presentations about his experiences with solar cooking. In our interview, Andy told me that it was Celestine Ruivo, whom he had seen on TV, who inspired him to build his first solar cooker a few years ago. Since then, he has constructed several cookers, and in his presentation, Andy Wilson showed us some pictures of his self-made parabolic dish of 1.8 meters diameter and told us about his attempts to bake pizza in it.
My name's Andrew and I live in Australia, in Perth, Western Australia, which is a very hot place, which is very good for solar cooking. And here I am in Portugal at a conference.
Yes, welcome. How did your solar cooking story begin?
Well, I've always been interested in scientific things. My work-related degree is a science degree. But I saw Dr. Ruivo on TV on a current affairs program where they were comparing Australia's efforts with Portuguese's efforts with renewable energy in general. Mm-hmm. And he got on and was talking about solar cooking. So I thought, well, that's interesting. How do you do that? And I'd imagined him funneling sunlight into his kitchen inside the house. But I found his email address and I emailed him and he emailed me back and then we corresponded and I sent a few people in his direction who were interested. And eventually came to visit him and I was invited to present at this conference, which I will do.
Yeah.
And that's really how I got started, actually doing solar cooking things.
Uh-huh. After you saw Celestino in this video or in TV, how did you react? What did you do then?
Well, I just thought it was an interesting angle because he was talking about using direct solar thermal cooking. And of course, at home, you just turn on a switch and everything works.
Yeah.
This we're also interested in camping, so I thought perhaps, you know, there might be camping applications.
Yeah.
I didn't actually do terribly much about it at first. I've just been generally following, you know, the general science debates, you know, you know, reading the magazines and, you know, looking at...
And then someday you built your first solar cooker?
Yes, the first one that I made was really just a variation on the design that Celestino has published. Mm-hmm. I call it the cardboard box cooker. I don't know what it calls it in Portuguese. But I had a piece of artboard, so I just scaled it up a little bit. But it's essentially the same, but only be, what, 15% bigger.
Yeah.
And it was fine. I started, you know, I cooked a few
cakes. How long ago was it?
That would have been, oh, I suppose, 3 years ago.
Okay.
Possibly, you know.
Yeah. And you use it frequently?
I've spent most of my time in the last year and a half building this big parabolic cooker, then starting to use that. And the project I'm here for today is seeing if I can make a pizza oven work off a cooker of a mirror of that particular size. And so I've spent as much time welding and banging and cutting things. And
is it ready?
Yes, it's
working. Yes.
Oh, it does work.
Yeah, okay, so you can eat solar pizza now.
I can, if it's a hot day.
Yes, of course.
Well, when I say a hot day, it needs to be reasonably warm because, you know, there are thermal losses, but it needs to be bright sun. It's at the limits of what you can do with that size. It's big enough to cook three pizzas at the same time.
Yeah.
But it's not easy, and you know, it's at the limits of what you can do. You need good conditions for it to work. However, now we know that.
Yeah.
So it's been, I'll say it's a learning experience, but I could have cooked a lot of pizzas in the oven for the cost of what it took to build this thing. However, it's a learning experience.
Yes. Okay. Is there any tracking system, or do you do it manually?
It's just on wheels and you just keep it pointing
at
the sun.
So you stand aside and wait 10 minutes or so and then you rearrange it a bit?
Yeah. It's because you're trying to get a high temperature over a large area inside an oven, the movement of it is getting quite critical. It's becoming, you know, the work involved in keeping it pointing is starting to... It could detract from the effort of you know cooking and preparing other things.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be fairly focused on focusing it, which is one of the disadvantages of this particular apparatus. But
yeah,
I've got other cookers, and I'm just as likely as not to cook long skinny things.
How big is this mirror, and what is the focal length?
The mirror is 1.8 metres across in diameter, so it's a bit under 3 square metres aperture.
Yeah, yeah.
But the focus is fairly close to the mirror, which presents one of the technical challenges there, because mm-hmm. the rays of light are converging from a fairly obtuse angle.
Yeah,
it's not like where the focal point is at some distance and the rays are almost parallel. Yeah. These rays are very divergent.
Yeah.
So the design has to include considerations about not reflecting some of the heat or the light straight off the thing. Mm-hmm. So I've used a spherical mm-hmm. Heat trap, for example.
Uh-huh.
What's extending the range with this machine is that with the big parabolic cookers, you can easily cook food in a black saucepan. But for this particular application, I've added a heat trap and insulation to see whether that allows me to cook something hotter and bigger. And it does, but it's at the limits of what you can do.
So you put a black pot in the focal point, but you have a collector.
The original machine that I made was made so that that's exactly what you do. There's a cage that just sits there so that the middle of the pot's roughly where the focal point is.
Mm-hmm.
I have cooked with a pot and a coffee pot next to it and boiled both of them.
Mm-hmm.
But I made it with the oven in mind, so the cage that you use for pots can be removed mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you can put the oven there instead.
Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. So you cook in hot air in the end?
Yes. Uh-huh. Basically how I conceived it was as a black box radiator.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But not an ideal one, with a slightly bigger hole and with a door on the front.
Mm-hmm.
As I envisaged it, this was an iterative design process, which means I just started and then made improvements as I went along. Now, I put a lot of energy into making a double glazed door.
How long did it take in the end, completely?
I was doing it part-time over 12 months.
Oh, okay.
So quite a long time. The whole project was from making the mirror. I repurposed an old radio mirror, which was just a curved piece of steel, to then putting that on a frame and then building a frame to hold it, which would also mm-hmm. hold mm-hmm. an oven, which I expected to weigh somewhere south of 100 kilograms. And then, you know, making that whole apparatus and then making the cage and then making that removable and then the oven itself to sit on it. That took, on and off. And then testing it and, changing things. You know, the whole process probably took 18 months.
Yeah. What is the reflective surface made of?
Recycled glass mirror. It's actually new mirror, but it was cut by our friendly glazier. From material that would normally go in his scrap bin. You know, he'd cut a mirror
and
for a size.
You cut it in small pieces?
I asked him to cut it into 10 centimetre wide strips.
Okay.
So I got various lengths, some short, some long, some very long.
Okay.
And then I shaped it myself with a tile cutter.
Uh-huh. And what is below it, below the glass? How is it held together?
I've primed the steel paint, you know, rust resistant paint, and I just use liquid nails. It's an industrial glue.
On metal sheets or what?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you also use other cookers?
Yes, I've got a GoSun, which is an American parabolic trough type, vacuum flask type cooker.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I use that for either rows of eggs or long skinny things like sausages.
It's
one of their smaller models.
Uh-huh.
But I've also got the cardboard box cooker.
Yeah, okay.
And I'll use that for cakes or things. But the big one is so powerful that if I'm going to cook a curry or something, I'll just put it on the big one because it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife doesn't like it because it's big and it occupies
space. Yes.
A little bit too much space in our backyard. That's one of the other disadvantages. And the design I've used is not a design that's optimised for a smaller footprint. It's designed for holding heavy things.
Yeah.
So that's a compromise.
Yeah, okay. How did your friends and neighbours react? Is there any reaction?
I think our neighbours, we've got a row of units on one side of the fence. They peeked over the fence from time to time because they could see bright lights moving in the trees.
Mm.
Wondered what was going on, but we haven't had any adverse reaction from them. There is a house with a house behind it that's a new house being built in the back next door on the other side, and the owner of that whole block there is a retired engineer, so he became quite interested.
Yeah.
But he mostly became interested when I'd shout profanities when things went wrong with angle grinders or welders, or poke his head over the fence to check I hadn't hurt myself. Uh-huh.
And do you offer anything to eat to your friends or neighbours, solar cooked?
Well, I had a young boy come most recently to help me with another project I'm doing, and I cooked his lunch for him on that, and he thought that was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly what I've done with it is cook for my family or cook for myself for mm-hmm. the following week. I'll cook a big batch of things, like I'll cook a whole packet of sausages, eat some for lunch, but I'll put the rest in the fridge and I can use that for lunch during the week.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Or make a stew that's too big. You know, I'll cook a batch and we'll divide it up and just have stew once a week for the next so many weeks.
Is there anything like an Australian solar cooking community?
There is a community in our adjacent city, Fremantle, which is the port city that's merged with Perth City.
Mm-hmm.
I've visited some of the houses in the sustainable housing program, but I haven't joined up with that community of such.
Yeah.
I've been a bit of a lone wolf with this particular project.
Okay.
I've given away a solar cooker that I made to someone as a gift, and he cooked with it,
mm-hmm.
sent me a photo, and mm-hmm. I tried the cake that he'd cooked, but I didn't see him do it. So I've seen other people very little. In fact, I'm the main person I've seen solar cooking.
Okay.
I've seen Celestino in this country, but I've been working in somewhat isolation, which is why I'm very glad to be at a conference of like-minded people.
Uh-huh. Okay, so why have you come here in the end?
I was invited to come and show what I was doing. And Celestino invited me because I'd been emailing him and telling him what I was doing.
Show some pictures of your...
He guided this latest project.
Uh-huh.
Him and Dave Axford from Britain, they both contributed a lot to my thinking.
Uh-huh.
And helped when I'd had some lack of thinking.
Uh-huh. Okay. And what do you expect from this conference, besides reactions directly on your presentation?
I'm expecting to learn some interesting things, particularly about the phase change materials that people are using, because that addresses one of the major problems in terms of using solar cooking when the sun's gone down.
Yeah.
You know, it's an enabling technology, and it's... Mm-hmm. Equivalent in a direct sense to using batteries with photovoltaic energy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in broader things than just solar cooking. There's the whole social aspect and aspects related to climate change but also in a sense to independence and simpler living and all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And I am interested in using them recreationally,
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The solar cookers that you can take on a picnic are a great idea, and also if there are other people on the picnic, a great advertisement for
mm-hmm.
the use of solar energy. But
yes.
In Australia, we think nothing of having solar hot water systems. They're very uh-huh. common.
Uh-huh.
In fact, they were developed. The early, very early ones were developed in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And it so happens that I knew an older man, then I was just a child, but I knew one of the men who developed one of the very early ones. His name was Clary Small, and it was developed then by others and then was commercialised by an Australian company successfully. But now I don't know if there was independent development in other countries. I just don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
But people in Australia think nothing of that, and now solar photovoltaic panels are becoming very common, but it's not a common thing as far as I'm aware.
Mm-hmm.
Outside small communities of interested people for solar cooking to be used. I don't know of anyone who routinely does it to feed their family.
Mm-hmm.
And in my situation, I'm doing it partly out of interest, but I'm becoming more interested in the cooking aspect of it rather than the just technical let's build something aspect of it.
Yeah.
Because there's a nice rhythm to it. I it's something I like to do. And when I go outside and I think, gee, it's hot, and I think, gee, that'd cook my next meal.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, look, I'll get something out of the fridge and just cook it so that that's done.
Yeah.
And it becomes a solution to a problem rather than a problem.
Mm-hmm.
With that little change of attitude.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm kind of interested in, you know, the attitudinal things, you know, the talks about, you know, the barriers to solar cooking.
Mm-hmm.
We have to do this solar stuff.
Yes.
We have to.
Absolutely. Okay.
So what's stopping us? You know, we really need to know that.
Mm-hmm. Anything left you want to mention?
Yeah, I went out to the Temara community with the group. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, and mm-hmm. it really brought home to me that doing these things and making the mistakes that you make and seeing the things that you can develop, seeing what the opportunities for improvement are, this is really important, because the lived experience is at the other set of goalposts
mm-hmm.
to the established way of doing things.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to make inroads into changing. People have got a comfortable, well-established, convenient and affordable way of doing things when we really need to get the solar, including the direct solar cooking thing, we have to get that happening.
Mm-hmm. Have you experience also with the solar drying?
I know about it. I've seen it done. I've drunk some of Celestino's carob coffee that he mm-hmm. dried himself from his own trees
yeah.
on his own rooftop.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've also come across the articles where people are using it yeah. industrially.
Do you know if it is used in Australia, solar drying?
I'm sure that it is, but I doubt that it's used extensively, at least not in a deliberate sense.
Okay.
I mean, people dry their... In Australia, people hang their clothes up outside because yeah, it's okay, a really okay. easy way. It's yeah. a hot place.
Yeah.
And frequently a dry place, although increasingly frequently it's a hot and humid place.
But drying fruit or vegetables, not?
Not so much.
Yeah, okay.
I think most Australians most of the time would buy their food pre-dried and pre-cooked and pre-frozen and packaged.
mm-hmm.
You know, we open a packet and press the green button and
okay.
fix it like that. So this is a cultural change. People cook with fire occasionally at barbecue sites, particularly mm-hmm. remote sites, where there's, you know, fuel all around and there's no gas and there's no electricity. But what I would like to see is institutional bodies, whether they're government or non-government,
mm-hmm.
placing good community-scale cooking facilities in remote areas where they can be used by anyone, provided they're set up with fire safety in mind, because that's clearly a major and increasing problem in my country.
Yeah.
If you leave the facilities out there for people that will start a fire. But then again, you know, there are gas cookers, barbecues out there, and people could start a fire with those. But if you wanted to start a fire, you've got a box of matches, you don't need to do it with a solar cooker. You know? Mm-hmm. So that's perhaps just a fear that, one of those other fears that you need to overcome. But it's an issue that local councils would bring up. Well, is this safe?
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to have to maintain it?
Yeah.
Who's going to look after it?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's another area that we might address.
Good. Thank you a lot.
You're very welcome.
Sunpod.
Der sonnige Podcast.
Positive Impulse für eine lebenswerte Welt, wie wir sie uns wünschen. Um neue Ideen bekannt zu machen, brauchen wir eure Hilfe. Durch Rückmeldungen und Unterstützung aus der Hörerschaft. Kommentare sind willkommen. Entweder über den Blog www.sunpod.de oder per E-Mail. Die Kontaktdaten findet ihr im Bereich Die Autoren. Finanziell könnt ihr unser Ideenradio via Flatter, PayPal oder Überweisung fördern. Details hierzu findet ihr auf der Homepage www.sunpod.de im Bereich über Sunpod. Vielen Dank für eure Mithilfe.